Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
a little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
friend? A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Oh, you know we can't hold.
Oh, right. This is Tech Talk. Why is the, I got nothing going on here. Are you on?
Hit a red button. There you go.
There we go.
Hi, everybody.
Why isn't the CD playing? What's going on here?
Hit a slide or something.
I haven't played with the CDs, and so, oh, I know why.
Hit the red button. Push the slide up.
How about these things? Oh, there we go. All right. There's our little intro.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Tech Talk. That's Michael Tech Talk Klassler. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Yeah.
So happy to have you with us this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I love having problems to figure out in the morning. It makes me feel so productive. You know, first thing, walk in and
is that why it keeps happening?
Sliders don't work. Skype isn't going. We got one thing. I don't have enough excitement in my life lately. You know, my day.
Are you
gig,
a drama queen? Are
well,
you?
Yeah. Well, without the day gig, you know, it's like you know, no reason to get up before 10. Hang on. No, I don't do that. But
a tech geek drama queen. Just you break stuff just so you can fix it.
Just so you can fix it.
Or I neglect your machinery or. Software just so you have something to do.
That's it. Well, how do you know that you're, you know, you've got value in the world if you're not,
if you're not fixing stuff?
You got to be fixing stuff. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So, well, it is Tech Talk. As Dave introduced us.
I think it is.
Yeah, we're gonna have.
I came here expecting that.
Hopefully, we're gonna have Jay Garman on here in a little bit too. We talked to him last week about his day gig, which changed. He's with Backupify now.
Backupify.
Which
I'm
is
sorry,
great
I missed that.
I'm sure he'd be more than happy to tell you more about it.
Yeah, sure. And for those that missed it last week, we can talk about it again a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of a neat thing. I thought it was just a standard backup tool, but it's not. It's backing up all your social life online. You're on your social network online.
So that wouldn't take long for me.
You mean I'd have to back up both of my friends? I could probably remember them.
Yeah. Isn't it? Well, what if you unfriend somebody and then, you know, the backup keeps putting them back?
Yeah.
Ever have that problem with files, you know, where you got a backup thing going and you go through and delete a bunch of duplicate files and everything and you go back the next day and it's been put back by
I've had that happen. You make changes to some applications and then you restore the backups and all of a sudden all those changes you made just they're gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes too much attention.
Yes.
To play with technology.
It certainly can. Too much attention, especially if you have a problem with inattention.
Then, yeah. Well, if you're playing with three different things at the same time,
you know. Yeah. Hey, I've got, you know what? I want to start us off. I just thought this was hilarious.
What do you got?
Have you ever received one of those phone calls, you know, the robocalls where,
Oh, I hate those. I get way more mad than I should. I get much more angry than the situation calls for. Just get furious. Like what, you know, because like an idiot, I'll be half asleep or something and they'll call and I'll start talking back to them. Well, what do you think about? Well, as a matter of fact, I think, and then they're talking over me, and it takes me a minute to realize it's a recording.
It's a recording.
You're like an idiot.
Yeah, they're so much worse. I hate the live people that call you badly enough. The thing that's happening lately is we'll get these calls. You know, we put our kids to bed around 8 o'clock, something like this. I guess that the drop date or the drop time now for people to call you for these calls is as late as 9 o'clock or something?
Oh, you mean the stop time, the latest in the evening they can call you is 9 o'clock. I think that's about right.
Which you know, we're finally getting everybody down and to sleep and then they're calmed down. The baths have gotten out of the way and all that. And all of a sudden, bring, the phone's ringing. You know, and we don't have any friends. Who's going to call us at 9 o'clock at night? You know, you pick up the phone and Yeah, somebody. But anyways, I want to play this. I want to play this for. We're getting off topic. I want to play this.
I was getting sad there for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right.
the only friend is the robocaller.
That's right.
Oh, and now you're ticked off at your robocaller friend.
The robocaller. Well, yeah. I didn't get all that ticked off, but this guy here did. I'm gonna play you a little clip. This is from MSNBC. So listen in here.
Well, somebody got a. So this is somebody that got a robocall and they weren't happy.
And they took action. So,
okay. They took action.
So, yeah. This is good. This is good stuff.
And you have got to hear this story. Okay, so dad is home. He's sleeping soundly and gets a call in the middle of the night. It felt like trouble from the start. But when Aaron Titus picked up the phone, it was, by the way, 4:30 in the morning. It was a robocall telling him what he already knew, that school would open late because of weather. Now, Aaron, having some tech savvy of his own, found another robocall company and got some revenge on a few school board members in his district, calling them 4:30 on Thursday with this message.
This is a Prince George's County School District parent calling to thank you for the robocall yesterday at 4:30 in the morning. I decided to return the favor. While I know the school district wanted to ensure I dropped my child off 2 hours late on a snow day, I already knew that before I went to bed. I hope this call demonstrates why a 4:30 a.m. call does more to annoy than to inform. Quit robocalling parents at 4:30 in the morning, or at least allow us to opt out of these intrusive calls.
Aaron Titus joins me now.
Great vocal skills. This guy's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah.
You know,
nice job.
It's funny too. Well, actually, I used to work for a company that did robocalling and robofaxing.
Oh,
as
my.
Well. So and when
I didn't know you were scum of the earth.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk several times in a really bad way, judgmental way about spammers. How dare you? Are you reformed? Or?
When used properly.
Oh, when used properly.
It can be a very valuable and informative service. And in fact, the thing that he is complaining about is something which is a legitimate service that I recall, in fact, us presenting to school districts around the country. I was doing tech support for the Midwest and then eventually the East Coast regions. That it's a great service that instead of having to... attempt to contact people or you'd have people with their kids showing up at your front door of the school when the school is closed because of weather events.
Yeah, but 4:30, could that just have been misscheduled? Maybe you were supposed to go out at 5:30 or 6:30?
Yes.
I think 6:30 would be a reasonable hour. And does it take a long, is it some sort of, it's not mechanical, it's all... you know, digital, so they, all these calls can go out at virtually the same time, right?
This is the issue here. Okay. There's two things that would cause this to occur at 4, or three things. One thing that would cause this to occur at 4:30 in the morning is just a misschedule,
oops.
We screwed it up.
Yeah.
The other thing that would make it go at 4:30 is they're probably using a service that isn't necessarily based local to them. It could be based
in a different
West
time zone.
Coast. They're on the East Coast.
Or in Punjab. Or
the other way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and then the other reason is what you just brought up is that depending on the size of the company that's offering the service, regardless of it being a digital service, bottom line, you still got to tie up those phone lines. So the way that these systems work is that they have a bank of servers that have got phone cards in them that interface with the phone system, T1 lines, things like this. So you get, 23 lines per T1 port. They've only got a couple of those. Because they're expensive, then, well, if you've got to make calls out to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people, it's going to take, with a 45-second message, a certain amount of time to make those calls. And you start adding that up, and you start realizing that, boy, in order for my scheduling, my software to schedule all of these calls and be able to get them in before that 6:30, 7 a.m. cutoff time, I got to start them at 4:30.
So what do you think? You think it's an overreaction by this guy not understanding that this is a large group of people that needs to be informed? You get the early knock on the door. Do you think it's an overreaction, or do you think he reacted in a reasonable way?
I think it was a little bit of an overreaction. Personally, I would probably be a bit unhappy, and I would call the school and say, you don't need to call us at 4:30. But you got to remember, too, there's people that probably they're getting ready to go to work at 4:35.
Oh, yeah. If they called me, I'd have been up a half hour already.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you wait till 6 to call them,
right?
You know. know, you're missing them, and they've already got the kids fed and waiting for the bus to come.
Well, the easy solution to this is email, but not everybody has email.
And that's that's just
not everybody checks their email in the morning.
But I just thought it was a great
way texting.
Way to respond. You can text. You know, that's, and I think a lot of the districts, the more tech savvy districts, anyways, are starting to move to offering people our alternative methods of communication. And in fact, the school districts that I had worked at recently, we offered people that option. You could choose to opt out of the call, but get an email or a text instead. And it's just as easy, just as cheap to do. It's not a big problem. The other thing that you can do from a personal standpoint, and I know everybody loves to hear more and more of the things you can do with Google Voice. I know everyone's sick of it now, but
I don't think they are. I really don't think they are.
I would recommend to this gentleman, you know, instead of giving the school district your personal number, give them your Google Voice number. Set that up. You can set it to schedule. Do not disturb times.
Yeah.
And so you say, I want this block of 8 hours to be do not disturb.
But if it's a Google Voice, it doesn't even necessarily have to be ringing a phone, right?
You can even ring a phone. Our Tech Talk hotline is a Google Voice number that just goes nowhere. It just goes to a voicemail. That's 847-98.
Well, don't put it that way if you want people to actually.
847-984-0847. I listen to them. I listen to every single call that comes through. Yeah. And the nice thing is, actually, some of them I don't even have to listen to because it transcribes it and emails it to me, so I know if it's worth listening to, because we do get some wrong numbers. The legitimate listener calls I always listen to. So you can send to that 847-984-0847 anytime you want to. But that would be my recommendation for him, is to do that. You know, find some other way around it. But it was clever. It was fun. You can also, too, create your own robocaller if you want to, with a modem, simple modem. I know you're only going to have one line, so it's going to take a long time. But if you're calling...
Who's still got a modem?
There is that, isn't it?
I think I've got one somewhere, you know. Yeah. But I don't think I have the slot that it'll fit in anymore. Hey, speaking of analog things, you know, how going digital can solve analog problems, or just analog things going digital. Amazon.com is reporting that ebooks are outselling hardcover books by 2-to-1 or something like that.
Yes.
That's kind of weird.
Although the numbers, as with anything, you know, back to Mark Twain and his statistics.
These are not. You know, these are not verifiable.
Yeah,
Amazon's not publicly held. Is that the deal?
Well, they are pretty open about how they came up with the numbers. Yeah. But if you look at them closely, you can see how those numbers came to be. Is that they're comparing sale of hardcover books to ebooks, and there's some other specific. Actually, Jay and I had a discussion about this a few weeks ago, and I can't recall exactly, but he knew specifically what they were comparing, and it's not really an apples to apples comparison, that overall books are still far, far, far outselling. You know, hard, real paper books are far outselling.
On Amazon.
The ebooks.
It's just a load of hooey.
It's not quite. It shows that there is a great growth in the ebook purchasing. Now, I've had my Kindle for 2 months now, something like this, and I have yet to actually purchase a book.
Well, that's the other thing they say. What's another Amazon claim, which apparently needs to be taken with a bit of salt, that's the best-selling item ever on Amazon is the Kindle.
Yeah, no, that may be true. I don't know. I mean, the best-selling single item. Now, it's also, too, one of the longest-lasting item types that they've had on there, and certainly that they've created. You know, the thing is, you know, you could say, you know, you look at, like, say, a laptop, for example. Well, a laptop's lifespan on the marketplace to purchase it is only going to be like 3 months or 6 months before a different model is available. Probably only 3 months, usually, for most of them.
Yeah.
Same thing with phones, you know, any type of technology gadget people are going for. But the Kindle lifespan, now the same Kindle, what they call the 3G Kindle, and then the Kindle DX and so on, those have been on and available and at the same price point for a long time. I'm going to say a year anyway.
But still, I mean, it does indicate a trend that they think, We're moving that way, I guess. You know, but it's interesting that you haven't bought a book for your Kindle yet.
No, I have not. And you know, and I was. It's funny. I actually just had coffee with my pastor from church. We were sitting down and we were talking and we were having some coffee. And he was really excited about the Kindle and I was showing him how easy it is. You can get a free copy of the various versions of the Bible and stuff on there. Which, it's great. It makes it really easy to search the Bible, do all this stuff. And he's doing his thesis right now. He's doing it on, I don't want to tell you, get into detail.
Oh, I don't want to give it, somebody might steal the idea.
It's true.
Minister will, beat him to the pulpit.
You never know. But he was talking about his thesis. He's like, wow, this would be great for doing my thesis. You know, I've got all this information, all these books that I have to look up, all the things that I have to carry around with me, and there's stuff from years ago. But the problem with it would be, and I explained to him and showed him, is that, and this is something people don't think about if you're not in college right now, probably, is that while it's wonderful, space-saving to read your books on the Kindle, if you're trying to write a paper and reference books on the Kindle, there's no page numbers. So your bibliography is going to be unacceptable.
Did we talk about why there are no page numbers? Because it can change the font size, and that would...
Yep.
Well, you would think, you know, it is computing after all. I mean, you would think that but then again, you couldn't, unless you kept everything exactly the same font size all the time, it would make it difficult to reference things.
Yeah.
They just need to come up with a different method to reference, I think.
Well, and I think
maybe by paragraphs or something. Maybe or by chapters. You know, chapters and paragraphs. Much as the Bible is already. Annotated.
That was the discussion we had too, is that the Bible is unique in some ways in that when you do reference it, it doesn't matter which page and so on. Nobody
chapter
refers
and verse.
To page, chapter and verse. I think something similar, I think there is a solution for it with these. There has to be what you would wind up having to do in your reference is you'd have to reference with the bibliography. You'd have to add more information. Yeah, you'd have to include the chapter. But then you'd also, too, you could say this is the Kindle edition of such and such book, and this point is at location, because the Kindle uses location markers.
No, you know what I think the solution is? I think they should keep the original page numbers intact. Mm-hmm. Why not just do that? And if you've got a larger font, so you have four page 11. So what? I mean, you're still on page 11.
The difficulty I see with that is it's in the distribution process, because you have books now that are available that have never seen print. And so
they made my head hurt.
Yeah.
It did. You know, just for different reasons, not for this reason, but for different reasons. Just like I understand that we're moving digital, but there's also something disturbing about that. You know, it kind of hurts to it really does. It hurts to think of the loss of books of that you hold in your hand.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. I completely agree. I still, you know, do prefer to sit, you know, especially like I do a lot of reading in bed. I'll lay in bed, and that's the way I kind of relax for the evening. I've tried it with the Kindle. It's just not the same. I don't know why.
In
but
some ways,
it's
I was thinking, I haven't done it. Well, I've had an e-book reader for, I don't know how long, for maybe 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. I converted like an internet tablet thing that went bust years ago, and it was great for traveling, but I never tried to use it in bed. And in some ways, it's much easier to use it because you like holding books open, you know, the pages, you know, there are advantages and disadvantages to the digital format.
For hardcover books, and I've been going to the library a lot, so I've had more hardcover. Typically, I don't buy hardcover; I buy the paperbacks. But for the hardcover books, the Kindle is much easier to use than those. For paperbacks, though, sitting in bed with a paperback is a lot easier than, I don't know if I'd say it's easier. It's more. And it's probably just my associations. It's just more soothing. It's more there's something more connected with it, I think. You know, that physical holding it and flipping the pages and so on that you don't get with the Kindle.
Yeah.
So things, and also too, because of the font sizes, it's much quicker reading segments on the Kindle, you have to change the page much more frequently than you do with paperback, mm-hmm. where you can sit and you can read both sides, and the font size is typically much smaller, and you can really it takes a while before you're flipping a page. So that may be part of it too.
Yeah.
So at any rate, you know what? It's 20 after we if we're gonna get a hold of Jay, we should probably do it pretty quick. We're gonna see if this is gonna work here. We're trying something a little differently. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Okay, I got this going. We've had a lot of problems with Skype, as people know, through our main board and system.
And computer, it's a very complex setup. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah.
However, you're simplifying things a great deal.
Hello.
Right?
Good morning, Mr. Garmin. Can you hear us? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I think we're going to have to try. Jay, I apologize that you can't hear us. We're going to have to try the old school back the way that we were doing it before. Yeah. I don't know why he would not be able to.
Maybe
hear
just because you're not. For those of you who care, Mike's got his laptop set up with Skype on the laptop. He's using the output jack from the laptop and putting it into our board. Our control board, and we were discussing this before the show why this might not work, and I think what might happen that the output might automatically cancel the mic.
Hello,
good morning. Jay?
Ellis, is that you?
It is. can you hear us now?
You guys are very staticky.
You
sound great to us.
Yeah, you sound perfect. We had tried it before actually switching to using my laptop to do this, and apparently that did not function the way that we...
I'm theorizing that the output in, jack being plugged in would cut the mic, maybe.
Yeah, that may be exactly what was happening for some reason. Fun. So Jay, can you hear us well enough to I told Dave that you were gonna tell him at least the 30-second backup of five pitch.
Guys, I really don't know what you're saying. You wanna try IMing me, I can answer you auditorially.
Can you just talk for about 15 minutes?
Okay,
I'll lose you. All right.
He's gone.
He's gone. Oh man. I'm down here underneath spinning dials. Oh, you know, I think part of the problem was the dials were spun all the way to all the way to the left. Yeah.
That's not usually good.
No, that's not.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
We could try the old cell phone on speakerphone with the mic pointed at it.
Do you want to you got your cell phone?
I do. Hold on a second. I'm sending a text.
All right. Oh, folks, I apologize that we're doing this. You know what I'm going to do? Since we're...
All right, here we go. Here's my phone.
Oh,
you want me to dial it? Or we can't do it over the air. Here,
No. Yeah. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us a quick break, a couple of seconds here to collect ourselves. And,
yeah, right. Good luck with that.
While we're doing that, I appreciate it if you would stay tuned. You are listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3. You would think...
Well, a lot of people probably were listening.
Yeah, exactly. You'd think.
Hear that click of people changing their dials?
That's right. Well, let me give this a try. We'll be back at you in just a minute. Stay tuned, like I said, and don't go anywhere. Thanks again.
Can't wait to see you.
WRLR, Round Lake Heights, Illinois, 98.3 FM.
As you may know, WRLR is a nonprofit, all-volunteer station. All of us here give our time, resources, and energy to provide the community, and the world for that matter, with unparalleled entertainment and information. Our motto, radioactive means involvement, our involvement alone isn't enough. There are operating costs that go well beyond our immediate resources. We need you. Community involvement is everyone's involvement. Please go to our webpage, WRLR.FM, and click on Donate. The rest is easy. The amount is up to you. Our budget is like yours. Every contribution is an important part of keeping us all radioactive.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Hey everybody, this is Wayne Boyker. Catch Beatlemania every Monday from 3 to 4 o'clock p.m. You'll hear tracks from all the Beatle albums and also from John, Paul, George, and Ringo's solo careers. Every so often I dig up rare Beatle recordings, and from time to time I play Beatle cover songs from other artists. So join me every Monday at 3 o'clock for Wayne Boyker's Beatle Hour on WRLR 98.3 FM.
Hey Casey, do you like music?
Yup.
Do you like to cook?
Sure do.
So if you mix music with cooking, what would you get?
Uncle Tim's and Aunt Patty's radio show. Here, eat this Thursday night, 6 until 7 p.m. on 98.3 FM.
Mom! My tooth fell out!
The coach says I can play shortstop!
I get to be a deciduous tree!
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
All right. I think we got things figured out kind of here. Maybe.
Let's give it a shot.
Jay, can you hear us?
I absolutely can hear you now.
All right.
Have you got guest two up? I can't hear him on the...
I cannot hear very well either. Let me bring that up here. Let's try that again. All right. I think we may be... Oh, you know what? I wonder if this is actually guest three. No, I'm not hearing anything here through that.
Jay, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh. We can't quite hear you yet. Hold on just a second, Jay. We've got this almost... I always forget this thing. I got it now. All right. Now we got it. All right. Jay, we're here.
Are you sure?
We are. High tech cell phone to microphone technology going on.
But we can hear your voice, and that's the important thing. The listeners really want to hear from you, Jay. You know, that's always the case.
I feel the same way at home. This is the only place I go where people will listen, and I think that's just because they don't have an option here, basically.
The radio knowledge is broken.
Exactly. Yeah, they've got one station, and this is it. And you know, for their misfortune, I happen to be on. Well, I was telling Dave about your new day gig. I told him you'd relish the chance to give him a 30-second the 30-second snapshot of Backupify and what you're up to now.
Well, at Backupify, we back up cloud-based data, which is to say anything on your Facebook page, your Twitter account, your Google Apps domain, Basecamp, a lot of other services. In the event that you accidentally delete something or you leave your password taped to your monitor and some nefarious person finds it and hacks your account, we got your back. We can do one-click restore to all the Google Apps products, and we can do downloads and manual restores to pretty much anything else.
Very cool.
That is great, and I think there's a real need for that. I just read something about CFOs many companies are very interested in going to the cloud, but it makes them a little nervous. And this sounds like a very timely thing that is very much in need and demand.
Well, to your lips, to God's Spears.
and it's a great name too. That's what I love about it. It just rolls off
fantastic,
the
tongue. Fantastic, isn't it? Yeah.
Backupify.
Yeah.
So we had been talking last week about there being an anniversary with Coca-Cola, and that there was still some element of Coca-Cola, which they are the only company in the country that is allowed to import it, and no others are. I, off the top of my head, I was going to take the stab or guess that it had something to do with the coca part of the Coca-Cola, but I didn't go and take a look to find out what is the product that they're allowed to bring in.
Well, your guess is a good one. They are the only beverage maker allowed to use any extract of the coca leaf, which is the origin of cocaine. Originally, when Dr. Pemberton invented Coca-Cola in the late 1800s, it was a patent medicine to cure, among other things, morphine addiction, which is important because Pemberton himself was a morphine addict that sold the rights to Coca-Cola several times to feed his habit. So it was a combination of coca leaves, which give you cocaine, and cola nuts, which give you caffeine. And it was originally alcoholic, so this was a really serious patent medicine. By the time it became sort of a soft drink,
that'll cure.
By 1904, they had removed all of the raw coca leaves and just used spent coca leaves, which are the part that is left over after you've extracted the cocaine. But from 1904 until about 1970, there were probably still very minute trace amounts of cocaine in Coca-Cola. In 1970, the Controlled Substances Act forbade the import of coca leaves to the United States, except for Coca-Cola. They got special dispensation in the law that they could still bring in and use spent coca leaves. So they subcontract with a company called the Stepan Company in New Jersey. You knew it would be New Jersey, to bring in raw coca leaves, and Stepan extracts the cocaine for a pharmaceutical maker and then extracts all the non-cocaine parts of the coca leaves for Coca-Cola. And this is the only source of that extract for Coca-Cola in the world. If you blow up this plant in Maywood, New Jersey, they can't make Coca-Cola anymore the way they make it now. Mm. It's impossible. Mm. So they literally have a special dispensation in the law to use the byproduct of a narcotic in their drink.
Wow.
Man, and it was funny you were talking. I think I'm just going to take a stab here that Dr. Pepperton, did he wind up creating another famous soft drink as well?
He did not, but there is a long rumor that his name was the namesake of that other soft drink. So he was not directly responsible for that, as far as I know, but there is an intimation that that's where the name comes from.
it sure sounds more than coincidental. So
yes, you sort of got there. The name Coca-Cola is the combination of two high-powered stimulants. Coca leaves and cola nuts, basically.
And so
it was the Red Bull of its day.
Oh yeah,
or the Four Loko now for the younger listeners.
Yeah,
exactly.
I didn't realize that the original Coca-Cola had alcohol in it as well. I knew about the stimulant pieces, but man, that was a powerful punch right there.
Yeah, he actually, this whole notion of Coca-Cola being this unchanged formula since days of yore is total bunk. Pemberton revised the formula several times as he sold it to different people under the same name. And it was kind of sold on in 1904 when they took the cocaine out. And then in 1970, they changed it again. And then there was the whole new Coke fiasco. And everyone says, well, they brought Coca-Cola Classic back after New Coke, but they really didn't. Because the thing with New Coke is they wanted two changes. Now, both were really dumb, but they wanted them. One was they wanted a sweeter drink because Pepsi was kicking Coke's butt at the time, and Pepsi was sweeter. So they wanted to make a sweeter version of Coke. The other thing was is they wanted to convert all their bottlers from cane sugar to high fructose corn syrup, which was cheaper. Even when they brought Classic Coke back after the New Coke fiasco, they still made it with high fructose corn syrup instead of cane sugar. So Classic Coke is still not the Coke that existed before New Coke. It's still different. So this whole idea idea that Coke has been unchanged forever is totally wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Man, yeah, and it, of course now, you know, there's a big push. You can get a version of Coke that is made with cane sugar again. I know that they have, of course, they've got the Splenda versions and the Coke Zeros and stuff like that, but I could swear that I saw, and they're smaller bottles too. It's like a retro packaging sort of thing, and I think that on it, it says made with real cane sugar now, so maybe they're moving back towards that again. The high fructose corn sugar syrup is so much cheaper, of course, that, tough to convince them to go back to that, I would imagine.
Well, what you're seeing there is that Coca-Cola doesn't actually make Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola Incorporated makes Coca-Cola syrup, which it then grants to regional bottlers the franchise right to mix into Coca-Cola. And the syrup does not contain a sweetener. By contract, most of them use high fructose corn syrup because they're allowed to under their contract, and it's way cheaper. A few small regional bottlers have started selling a cane sugar version, which they can charge more for and sell to the eco-hippie crowd who doesn't like high fructose corn syrup for some legitimate reasons, especially if you've read the Omnivore's Dilemma. Mm-hmm. Dr. Pepper actually did that first. There was a version of Dr. Pepper called Dublin Dr. Pepper because the Dublin, Texas bottler refused to ever switch away from cane sugar and has done it that way forever. And so it sort of became this boutique item that you could get Dublin Dr. Pepper with real cane sugar. And some other bottlers have jumped on that notion with other soft drinks.
Huh.
And main central Coca-Cola has always offered, since the new Coke fiasco during Passover, kosher Coke, which has no corn products in it, and you can find those with a yellow cap on them. If you see anything with a yellow cap, it's certified kosher, which means it has no corn and it's made with real sugar.
And I've seen that, and I'd wondered what it was that made it kosher. I didn't realize that it was the lack of corn that did it.
Ashkenaz Jews under Passover laws cannot consume any products of corn during the Passover, you know, period. Huh. So they had to make a version of Coke. Now a lot of people, you know, stock up when that stuff comes out because it's made with real cane sugar. Also, notably in Mexico, they never switched to high fructose corn syrup because Mexico has no corn subsidy for their farmers, so sugar's always been cheaper.
Yep.
So there's a whole cult of Mexi-Coke where people, like, cross the border, not anymore, it's not safe, but across the border and get Mexican Coca-Cola, which had real sugar in it.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Mexi-Coke. Get me a case of that.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is crazy. I'm gonna have to look into the Dr. Pepperton too and see if I can hunt down anything confirming or denying the link of him to Dr. Pepper as well. I know the flavor mix in Dr. Pepper as well, I was reading recently, was specifically designed to emulate the smells and flavors that you would have experienced as you went into a 1930s soda jerk type of place, soda fountain place. And that's why there's 80 some odd different flavor mixes into the Dr. Pepper soda. It's so difficult to duplicate. But at any rate, what should we be thinking about for next week? What trivia can we focus on?
Well, 45 years ago on Monday, the U.S. Air Force lost a nuclear weapon over Spain. It was called the Palomares Incident. A bomber collided with an airborne refueling tanker and dropped 4 live hydrogen bombs. Now, they didn't blow up, mm-hmm. but 3 of them landed on land. One of them landed in the ocean, and they couldn't find it for months. And they had to bring in some math geeks to help them to find it. And they used a very specific geek search technique to find the lost hydrogen bomb. So the question for next week is, what special geek math technique did the U.S. Navy use to find the lost Palomares hydrogen bomb in 1966?
Hmm. And it wasn't the famous geek typing trick of Hunt and Peck.
No, it was not. It was a very particular mathematic technique that some nerds will know very, very well that they used because they wanted to find the lost hydrogen bomb as fast as possible. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, that would probably be pretty high on the list of priorities for them.
What a nerve-wracking search that has to be. What are we looking for? Oh, a hydrogen bomb underwater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And three of Mille, imagine the relief, too, the ones that landed, and especially on the ground, and did not explode.
That's the kind of search you'd want to be drinking old formula Coke to
yes.
To do.
I'm already clear on that. Three landed on land. Two of them did detonate, but just the conventional explosive part detonated. They didn't make a mushroom cloud or anything. They just luckily only spread plutonium ash all over a 2 square kilometer area.
Oh.
That was our lucky out on that.
Yeah. Wouldn't be that lucky if it was your house.
Yeah, brings not in my backyard to a whole new level of meaning there. But yeah, well, I guess with those, I mean, they do have some safeguards. Before you can, do more than that, they have to be specially armed and things. And so if they weren't actually ready to drop them for a wartime exercise, theoretically, anyways, there's not a lot more that would happen to one
sure.
of those.
Sure. And you would have been happy to be on one of those boats looking for the the lost hydrogen bomb in the ocean.
Yeah. Just follow the dead fish. Yeah. I mean, come on. How tough can it be?
Oh, well, those are everywhere now, so I guess, and dead birds.
That's right. That's right. So, well, Jay, as always, thank you. It's fantastic having you around. Oh, and, our station manager keeps calling Dave here to to get through that.
He probably has the answer to the question.
That's the beeping that you're hearing.
Yeah, he wants to know where to get the old school Coke at.
That's what it is. Yeah. he's hoping Jay can hook him up.
Yeah.
Or maybe at least get him some.
It goes to show he's not listening.
Good point. But I know people can find more great stuff like this. JayGarman.net. Actually, you know what? You can kill an exciting couple of hours just flipping through Jay's previous geek trivia questions and responses.
And learn a lot.
Absolutely. I'm still disappointed that the word of the day has kind of gone away. Jay, are you going to bring that back anytime soon?
When I learned to cure sleeping, yes, I absolutely will.
Great answer.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on that. You know what? I've got a six pack of some old school Coke that might help you. Well, Jay, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for putting up with our tech issues.
Will do, fellas. You guys have a good one.
All right.
Take care.
Now.
Just great. Fantastic.
What a great sport, too. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know why he puts up with us, but he does, and we greatly, greatly appreciate it. JayGarman.net is where you can get a lot more really cool, fun stuff there. And he's also too for hire now. He's got a lot of stuff on his page about he does public speaking and professional speaking about social networking and how you can relate that to your business. So
he's just the man. He's just an incredible guy. We're so lucky to have him as part of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He does a wonderful job week after week.
And I know he's not.
All kinds of, it doesn't get rattled by anything, obviously.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's on some other podcasts, too, that are, professionally done. As compared to this one, and he still puts up with us.
Well,
so.
He's probably just practices with us.
You know? That may be. You know, you got to keep your hand in. Got to keep your hand in. Let's see. We still got a little bit of time here. There was a couple of things I wanted to touch on just really, really fast because it was such big news and things we've talked about. And I said this is what was going to happen last week. Was sure enough on Tuesday. Of this last week, Verizon got the iPhone.
Yay!
So hooray! And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll see how their network holds up now to what's going to be just a bigger demand.
I think they're going to be fine. I think unlike AT&T, they now have the data from AT&T. That they know what pressures it's going to put on their network. I also don't think at least not immediately, that there's going to be a huge rush of people onto the Verizon network. You got so many people that are still on their two-year contracts with AT&T. Yeah. They're not going to bump over. Verizon is making it less.
So you're making another prediction.
I am making another prediction.
You know, you've had so many bad predictions.
You notice I didn't make any 2011 predictions.
So let's hear this new one. The new one is that nobody's going to buy an iPhone from Verizon, or not many people.
No. I'm not saying that.
The demand is going to ramp up slower, you think?
Exactly.
And Verizon's going to handle it with no problem.
With less problem,
less,
at any rate.
Than AT&T.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things,
we'll see
too,
how that pans out.
One of the things, too, is that the timing of it here is that, of course, it's January. You've got the iPhone. The typical iPhone buyer, from what I understand, are people that are buying, you know, the iPhone comes out and boom, they're like, I got to get the newest, hottest iPhone. Well, the new iPhone is not going to come out until June. So that gives Verizon a solid 6 months before that jumps out and people will fly to it. The other thing that's happening, too, is Verizon is killing their new in two deal. You cannot get that as a new customer anymore. And that deal was that every 2 years you could trade up your phone and they would give you a significant discount on it. And they were even, for businesses, prorating the 2 years and saying, oh, it's a year in. Well, hey, we'll still give you half of the major discount we give you. They're getting rid of it entirely. So it's making it less attractive for people to upgrade their phones. They're, you know, the longer the companies can get people to stay with the same phone, the better it is for the phone company. The worse it is, of course, for the phone manufacturer, you know, the Apples, the Motorolas, but the better it is for the phone companies because they subsidize the purchase of those.
Well, phones are advancing so rapidly now. I mean, it's hard. Like 2 years is an eternity now in terms of phone evolution and technology.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a problem, too, is knowing when.
Smugness does not last long. You got a phone. Oh, look what I got. You know, like 2 weeks later, it's like, look what I got. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Put that away. Nobody wants to see that. That new fancier phone than mine.
Yes. Yeah. We were talking about former DJ Rick, who was on here for a long time, and how excited he was about his iPhone. I remember him bringing that in. And,
He was. He had a lot of. I think it was like a year. He had at least a year where he was way ahead of the pack with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he had his custom leather belt holster and everything. he was not shy about gloating about it either.
So, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Yeah. And, you know, and it is one of the things, moving to Verizon, there is a possibility that I'll actually go with the iPhone when that happens and bring that up. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I thought it was interesting. If you are looking for an iPhone, now's the time to go to Verizon. You can maybe get better phone calls with it than you had in the past. They've also, too, supposedly the Verizon version of the iPhone corrects the antenna issue.
Ah.
So they don't need to have a little plastic doodad to make that work. So now what were we going to do?
I don't know.
Next.
This point in the program, usually, you know, something not hot, but cool.
Which
something not.
Oh, there we are. Now I know. You know. There are guys in the studio who've done a show like twice, and they do a better job than me. They have better mastery of the board. They control their sound effects.
But they don't have the spontaneous feel to their program that you do.
Oh, it's spontaneous.
There's an edgy what next. Going to happen next?
I noticed during
element
the course
that most
of,
people don't have in their program.
The course of our show, the spontaneity has gained us. Let's see, we were up near to 100 listeners at one point.
That's
on
a typo.
On Justin TV. We're down to 82 right now.
Oh,
so I think that's that's indicative.
Well, once Jay goes, that's gotta.
Well, that is true. That is a good point. You know, we just can't force him to stay with us as much as we want to.
Yeah.
And
the poor guy, probably,
Hey, you know, it's 2011.
It is.
It is 2011. I told you I wasn't going to have any predictions for 2011, but I do have some good stuff. Cool sites of the week for 2011. We did the best sites of 2010, actually, last week.
Oh, so, sorry I missed it.
Hey, do you want to throw one in? I was thinking, do you have one that you'd say was your favorite?
I didn't like any sites last year.
No.
I didn't, really. I didn't find anything that was that great.
No. Yeah, I was able to come up with 10, but I'm not going to go over them again now. Yeah. what I do? Oh, you know what? We just got an update. I was mentioning the JTV, the Justin TV viewer listings, and our good pal, friend of the station, Joe Siraki, he says the JTV numbers, like those, they're a cumulative list of people that jump in and never sign off. So as people actually go through the process of signing off
or shutting down their computer,
then we lose them. So we probably don't have.
So we probably still are on the sports corner bubble.
Yeah. We're riding their coattails is what's happening on these statistics there. So I'm fine with that.
We're probably still got stragglers from the Mexican Pentecostals last Sunday morning.
That could be too. Yeah. They're notoriously bad about signing off. So those Pentecostals. Yeah. the long-lived group of people.
And we meant that in no way to be insulting. We love the Mexican Pentecostals. And, you know, that was just a point of reference from a week ago.
Absolutely. So anyways, back on to cool sites of the week. One thing that everybody always needs as the new year comes along is a calendar, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
I love this calendar site. I know this sounds ridiculous to say that you love a calendar thing.
But it sounds fantastic.
It's free. It's printable. It comes in an Excel format. It's davidseah, SEAH.com. He's a graphic artist and designer who has created these exceptionally functional and useful mini calendars, compact calendars, he calls them. There's one that comes in a long strip that you can put like on the inside of a folder, and there's also a wallet-sized one as well. The neat thing about it is you have to go take a look at it. It's not done in your typical, horizontally arranged, January,
grid.
February grid.
It's not like a grid of numbers and days.
Not like months and separated by the months and so on. It's in a vertical, like a candy bar style. Like I said, you can put it in a strip down the side. It's organized in such a way. For him, he created it because he does a lot of design spec work, and so he needed an easy way to be able to block out exactly how many days would be required to do the work, taking into account holidays, weekends, and so on. And with this type of calendar, you can very easily just basically draw a line and create a block of the amount of time it's going to take you to do it and see where your vacations and holidays come in and block out the time easily. You kind of have to take a look at it. I know I'm not doing it justice.
No, you're not. But what you're basically stating is that it's a different graphic representation of days and a month, and it makes it easier to organize your time.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And it's created by davidseah, who is a designer. That's what he does. Now, if you're looking for something more traditional, and that website again is davidseah.com, and if you go and find compact calendar in there, you'll find it. I'll put a link up, of course, too. The other one, too, if you're looking for a more traditional type of calendar, go to printable2011.calendar.com, and that's 2011 numbers. This website is the daughter site, sister site, I don't know what you want to call it. There is a tremendous number of websites.
Life partner site.
It's a life partner site. That's what it's a wonderful site. I'm not going to even know this.
Who are they hooked up with?
He's hooked up with himself. I don't know what the genesis of this site is or this grouping of sites are. I think he's making money from the ads. Ads on there. You can also purchase groups of the printable stuff that they create. This is only one thing that they do, but if you're just looking for a straight up, I need the 2011 calendar, I want it you know, wallet size, and I'll print a dozen of them out. I want a hexagon one. I want, you know, your typical one you put up on the refrigerator. You can go here, download the PDF, download the Word version, and bang, you're done, and throw it up there, and it's great, and it's free. He's also got cards. He's got coloring pages. He's got all this stuff. You can find
it. You can customize stuff. You can, you know.
Well, you can't customize it. That's the one thing they do want you to pay for is if you – I think if you download it as a Word, you probably have to pay for it. But there's ways that you can get the stuff, and then you can customize it.
Yeah.
But the other thing I would mention, too, though, if you're really looking to customize something – now, David says you can customize, but most you can't unless you go to Microsoft Word. Microsoft Word templates are available for calendars, and Microsoft Excel has templates available for calendars as well. And those you can grab and download and do all that good stuff as well. And speaking of customizing, I'm going to give you one last really, really, really cool site. This is awesome. This is it's not really a site. This is it's lifehacker.com. But what they did is they ran a quick how-to of the myriad many ways that you can perform different tasks directly from your browser address bar. You know, you can use your browser address bar to type in, you know, www.google.com. Yeah. Well, if you go to Google, this is a good example. If you go to Google and you do a search in Google, look up in your browser address bar. And what you're going to see is a whole long string of information, and basically it looks like coding gobbledygook. But what it is it takes the information that you've typed and put it into a browser, and then that sends the command to Google to do what it needs to do. You can use that functionality to your own benefit. Firefox has a really easy way. You can create a bookmark that will use variable information that you put in. So, for example, and I'm making this sound much more complicated than it is. You can do a copy paste once you go to this Lifehacker link, but you go in and create a bookmark called Maps.
Yeah.
Now, every time I open up Firefox and I type Maps space and then an address, it will automatically bring up Google Maps with the from address be my home and the to address to be the location
big
that I
time
just
saver.
Typed in.
Big time saver, yeah.
Exactly.
Fantastic,
exactly.
Yeah.
There's
and that's and where is that?
Lifehacker.com. Do a search, how to perform nearly any task from your browser's address bar. You can do things like automatically tweet, send an email to a set person that you send to all the time, on and on and on and on and on. There's just tons and tons of them. Really great stuff. A lot of fun to look at. Just a very, very
useful. So it's just like hidden little scripts.
Hidden little scripts, making use of those hidden little scripts.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
That aren't generally well known, but this is a good way to find out about them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you can set up one. I have one for music. I want to do a music search, you know, and find any MP3s that are out there in, you know, in Google land available on the internet.
Cool.
Easy to do. Easy
cool.
to do. Set them up.
There's
so,
some stuff I've been looking for I can't find, so that would be good to,
well,
good, you, good to do.
There, I can show you how to do it now because it's easy. It is easy. It's great. And you know what is also easy? It's not so easy, I should say, is having to say
ending
goodbye.
Ending the show on time.
That's right.
That's impossible for some people.
That's right. I am going to leave you with the podcast only song of the week, and the song this week, the band is called Maximum Balloon, and the song is Apartment Wrestling versus David Byrne, one of my personal heroes.
Oh, great guy.
It is a podcast-only song of the week, though. I'm only going to be able to play you a short bit of it before I'm going to
have... That's good, since we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, well, that is a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
so enjoy what little bit that you hear now, and then come to techtalk.wrlr.fm, where you can get the podcast and listen to the rest of it.
Fantastic.
Hey.
It was good to be here. Good to see you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
For listening, everyone. It's fantastic, and we'll hope that we convince you to come back next week.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
See you then.
Take care, everyone. Have a great week.